Invite you to take your Bibles, if you have one. And we are going to be, we are going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, and we'll be reading from verse 4 through verse 14. So let's stand in honor of God's word today. Again, Paul is continuing to write this letter to one of his favorite churches. And so let's open our heart to the wisdom that he shares here. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, nor have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And this is God's word. You can be seated. So, don't fall into the comparison trap this morning. There's always someone smarter, there's always someone more able, always someone with a better resume than you. And if you try to take pride in yourself, it's always a losing game. Now, interestingly enough, Paul didn't run up against that problem very often in his time. He graduated from the best seminary. He was from a Jewish family that could trace back their lineage. But he also lived in a cosmopolitan community. He knew multiple languages, and he was comfortable in the Hebrew world and in the Greek world. So he says, hey, you think you've got reason to boast? Let's compare resumes. I win, he probably says. But then he says, no. Actually, nobody wins when we play this game. And first of all, this morning, it can destroy our relationships if we're competing all the time. And if we bring that into the spiritual realm, it really brings turbulence that can keep us from moving forward. So the emptiness of pride will never be what moves us forward or helps us to gain ground. The emptiness of pride will destroy us. So remember the story about the man who won the most humble in his town award? Do you remember that? And then they had to take it away from him when he wore the award on his shirt, because then he wasn't being humble anymore. Poor guy. He was doing so well right up until that moment. Well, pride always undermines our spiritual growth by poisoning the process that's helping us to grow. We usually first come to God deeply aware of our sin. We usually come to God humbly, knowing that we've fallen short, crying out for help. wanting forgiveness, knowing that we need healing and change in our lives. And wonderfully, the Lord always greets us with open arms and takes us just as we are. And he offers us the grace to forgive us, to restore a divine relationship, and to begin changing us so that we can reflect that love out in the world as we're living our lives. Usually, human beings are very grateful in that moment, unless we're like the unmerciful servant that we talked about a few weeks ago. He still wanted, maybe even needed, to earn it with God. And so he just didn't know how to receive the grace, and he certainly didn't pass it on to anyone else. But if we truly and humbly receive the salvation that God is offering, receive the grace that he's giving us, then we begin to improve. As we grow and change, a sense of relief may begin to come over our lives. We're grateful that we're not dealing with some of the problems that we used to deal with on a daily basis. And the more distant that we get from who we were to who God is helping us to be, we might forget how it was that all of that came to pass. We may begin to think that it's because of our doing. We might start to take a sense of pride in how we compare to others who haven't gotten serious about their faith journey yet. But we've already made a mistake when that happens. The only thing that Christians can ever boast in is the Lord Jesus himself. Because everything that's happening in our lives, it's his work from beginning to end, and we haven't reached the end yet. And so it brings up this idea that there is the irony of stagnation. Stagnation can happen in your spiritual life in a way that's different from other areas of life. At this point in the journey, we may be like that Avis car rental commercial. Remember several years ago, we try harder, right? And if we start trying harder, we may try to pray more. We try to get back to reading our Bible. We make a deal with God to start doing more for him, to make up for this or that, to try to earn his favor. And now each of these things are good things. As a pastor, I'm not going to tell you to pray less. I'm not going to tell you to read your Bible less or to do less for the Lord. But the why matters at least as much as the what when it comes to our spiritual journey. We could find ourselves literally doing the right things for the wrong reasons, or not even realizing the other things that we could be doing and should be doing to grow, because in all of this, because we made it about doing, we've actually grown distant from the Lord. Notice how in the center section of this passage, Paul is talking about his relationship with Christ. He's saying that he leaves all these things that are to his credit behind to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. So it's about that relationship at the center. It's a relationship of love. It's a relationship of God pouring into our lives and us living in sync with that. So it's become about being good at prayer when we're getting off track, instead of about knowing God through prayer. It may become about knowing information about the Bible rather than growing in faith and knowledge so we can love more. Or it's become about earning something with God instead of about letting God's love flow through you. So God has to be active on our lives, and we have to be receptive in it for any growth to happen. The activity, there may be a flurry of activity that we're doing, but if we're not open to that and God isn't leading us, then we're just doing a list like any other part of life. So as sad as it is, you can be doing some of the things godly people do and even think of yourself as a godly person, but not actually be in close contact with God. It's sad, it's scary, but it is true. So let's get down to it. There's our part and there's God's part. There are a couple of verses at the end of the passage that we read last time. I want to pick up on those for a second. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Paul says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." So I first thought about this as a college freshman on the campus of the University of Iowa. I started thinking about how does this happen in our lives and what does Paul mean? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works. And I began to think about and wrestle with that. Now, last week, I said this line. I said, be willing to be uncomfortable in your Christian journey if you want to grow. Be willing to be uncomfortable at the moment of prayer. Be willing to be uncomfortable in the fellowship with others. And just in general, be uncomfortable because you're experiencing change. So this is a key verse to understanding what that means. So Paul says, fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. So what does he mean? Well, first of all, like I just said, I think he means being uncomfortable because you can't grow in any area of life unless you accept the challenge that is before you. And to accept challenge is always uncomfortable. And then you have to respond to that challenge as well. So don't assume that every challenging feeling that you feel is coming from the devil. Now, there's all kinds of memes on the internet about, you know, oh, I don't have time to listen to anybody who's got anything negative to say to me in my life. Well, okay, I mean, there are situations in which that would be a true statement. If someone's just constantly berating you, tearing you down, condemning you, writing you off completely, rejecting you. That's the kind of deep-seated negativity that you don't want to have in your life if you can avoid it. But if someone else is saying, hey, maybe you should murder less, right? Well, listen to that kind of negativity in your life, right? I mean, that's an extreme example. But obviously, we could be living our lives in such a way that others need to give feedback. Amen? And so if we have decided in advance that we're not going to receive anything from anybody else, how will we ever know the areas in which we could grow? So be willing to be uncomfortable. Be willing to receive some feedback from time to time. Now that's not easy, right? That's the uncomfortable part. That's the fear and trembling part. But that's only part of it. Second, I want you to realize that any good that's there in our lives is because of God's work. Amen? So here's what Paul already wrote in this letter in Philippians 1, verses 4 through 6. Constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. So, someone else has begun this work in us besides us, and that person is guiding and directing all of that in our lives, and the Lord is the one who's bringing our lives to fulfillment and fruition before the day of Jesus. So our part is having humility, having openness, having some fear and trembling, knowing that this is serious. And that if we're going to grow, we've got to listen and we've got to make some changes. But God's part is what makes the transformation happen. So we don't have to try to conjure it up. We don't have to try harder to make it happen, right? But we have to be open to what God is doing. So God gets all the glory because of that, and we don't take pride in it. So the holy fear, the righteous trembling that always remembers, Lord, I'm nothing without you, that is an essential part of the journey. Lord, I need you every hour. Lord, thank you for loving me and leading me and changing me. Lord, I'm lost without you. That's a healthy sense of our dependence upon God without letting condemnation take over in our thinking about our lives. It's just a sense that we do need to go to God for the good things that we need. And so that's a process. We take it seriously. We're humble before the Lord. We listen. We let the Holy Spirit shine a light on areas of our lives. We take input from trusted friends, and we try to grow and change as God leads us. And God will nudge you in the areas where change is needed. And then God will help you as you begin to take steps in obedience to that. You can have all kinds of plans that you devise for your own reasons, and they may never come to anything. But when God speaks into your life, and you receive that word, and then God nudges you to do something, and you respond to that grace by doing it in his strength, that's when good things really begin to happen on the Christian spiritual journey. Paul sort of refers to this as the upward call in this passage. Because God calls us forward. God calls us upward. God wants us to grow. God pours it into our lives, and there's room for that because we've emptied ourselves of pride. Now, we can't keep going up if we're being pulled and weighed down by our pride. So, be in the moment as much as you can. Don't worry so much about the future that you can't concentrate on trusting God for today. Amen? But do be concerned enough about each step you take that you listen for God's guidance and follow it. But mostly, be thankful. Now, there are some of us who may struggle with a sense of constant failure or defeat. And if that's you this morning, you may feel unworthy and certain that everyone else is worthy, but that you could never be. Well, the truth is, none of us are worthy on our own, not any one of us, but any of us can be made worthy by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter tried to walk on the water, but when he looked at the waves, he lost it, and he nearly drowned. But when he reached out to Jesus, Jesus saved him and pulled him out of it. So, we will sometimes stumble, we may sometimes struggle, but if we know where to look, we can keep making progress. Another important thing that Paul points out to us is forgetting what is behind. So as Christians, it helps if we can have a short memory. Amen? Now some of you just really said amen there, right? And we won't even talk about why. But this morning, we sort of need a short spiritual memory to keep going and to keep making progress. If we make progress, if we make some gains and it's exciting, celebrate that with God. But give thanks to God for it. And then get right back to business. And then if you struggle and stumble and fail, stop and try to learn from that failure and then move on. Keep going forward. Don't get bogged down. Now, we've all known that ridiculous person who still basks in high school glory of scoring the winning touchdown or making the cheerleading squad. And they can't make progress now because they keep looking back. They keep thinking the best days are back there somewhere. Maybe we've also been the person who can't forget past failures. And so we're afraid to try again. We say, see what happens every time I try? I just stumble and fall. It's not easy, but Paul shows us a good attitude to take in Philippians 3:13. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. All right? He says, I'm not there yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, this is a posture for us to take. Don't look back. Now, I love riding my bike, and I got out of the habit of riding during the pandemic, but I'm back into riding my bike again, and I'm loving it. It's not easy to regain some of the ground that I lost, but I think about what I can do today, and I get on my bike, and I keep making progress. Now, bike racing is really grueling, and I did some of it in my 30s, and it can be exciting and fun. And it works best when riders cooperate during most of the race to get each other near the finish line, and then it's all out for the line at the end. Now, some riders make the mistake of looking back as they approach the finish line. If they just keep pedaling hard, that's always their best chance to win. But they can't resist knowing who's back there. And sometimes that's just enough to slow them down, and they get overtaken just as they cross the line. Paul says, forget what's behind. In fact, you're not even competing with anyone in this race. Just keep pedaling forward. He calls it pressing on. So in verse 14, he said, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. So God has called us, and that's what gets us out there into the race. The prize is becoming like him, and one day being received by him at the finish line. Well done, good and faithful servant. So press on. Don't look back at past victories and coast. Don't look back at failures and think it's impossible. Instead, listen to God's call and press on to finish strong in him. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, this touches us where we live every day. And there are some of us this morning, probably all across this spectrum, some tempted to take pride after decades of following you and experiencing change. But even with all the good change that's happened in our lives, we could get stagnant, Lord, at some point in our journey, especially if we're taking pride in it. So, Lord, would you humble us this morning once again, that we would realize that any good thing in our life is only from you, and that it's with fear and trembling that we come before you, Lord, not in a sense of just a condemning kind of fear, but just in a reverence and an awe that says, this is special, this really matters, and anything good is all God's doing. So help us to take it seriously enough to listen to your still small voice. Help us to be open to the input of others when we need to hear it. And help us to be gentle in offering feedback to others, because everybody's sensitive at this point. But Father, I pray for the sake of our spiritual lives, for the sake of making it all the way to the finish line, for the sake of knowing that surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus every day in the fullness of how we can know him now, and looking forward to all that will be possible in future glory. Lord, just help us to set aside everything else and to set our eyes and our mind and our purpose and our will and even our bodies toward knowing you. And help those of us, Lord, who have had a sense of defeat from the past, who have many false starts along the way, where we've stumbled and lost our way. Lord, would you just speak a word of grace into the lives of everyone who needs to hear that this morning, that you love us and you never stop loving us, that you want us and that you want us in your family, and that you have great plans for each and every one of us, And if we've been going through a season of stumbling, Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. If we go to you, we confess our sins, we receive your forgiveness, we also receive the power to move on. And so help us to leave those defeats behind and take baby steps this week as you lead, so that we can press on. And then, Father, help all of us who are just kind of in the middle somewhere. Some days, Lord, maybe a little distracted, and other days kind of feeling like maybe we can't do it. Lord, just help us to make those small adjustments that will keep us focused on knowing Jesus. So when we pray, Father, help us to have the want to spend time with you. And when we go to the Word, make us hungry, Lord, to learn more, that we could be filled more with your life. And then, Lord, as we serve and share others, may it be out of definite concern for them and for their benefit, and for knowing it'll benefit us to humbly serve those around us. And behind all of it, may be a deep desire, Lord, to glorify you, that for all the ways you've blessed us, that somehow our lives could be a great big thank you to you. But Lord, it's your strength from first to last, and it's always your glory. So fill the church this morning. Empower us, Lord, to forget what is behind and to strain forward with your help to press on to the upward call that we have received in Christ Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that as we press on, that we can have in our mind's eye that picture of you calling us heavenward, calling us forward, calling us to the finish line, wanting so much to bless us all the way to the end. And may that fill us with courage and strength for each day. We praise you, we give you thanks for what you're doing, and we ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God is good, God is for you, and God wants to fill your life with holy purpose every day. Lean into that with his help, and know the joy of pressing on in him. Let's stand together. Let's say the Apostles' Creed.